Hello and welcome to a brand new Fun Kids Science Weekly. This is your bonus episode, which means it's just me, you, and some of the best science questions I have ever heard. You're listening to this if you subscribe to our show over at Fun Kids Podcasts Plus. Thank you so much for doing that. You've got access to over 30 Fun Kids podcasts, completely ad-free. And remember, that is the only way that you can hear these bonus episodes every month. I pick apart your science questions. That's all we talk about, the answers to the little problems that you're thinking about quite a lot, that you just can't believe, you just can't figure out. Thank you so much for these questions. There is a few ways that you can send me yours. Easiest way, the way that I love, is when you get to be a star of the show by leaving it as a voice note over on funkidslive.com. We've got a big record button there. Click that. Let me know what you think, what your question is. You can also email it to funkidslive.com or drop it as a review on Apple Podcasts if that's how you are listening. And I'm excited. A bonus episode. Just me, just you, just loads of science, so let's get into it. The first question this week is from Edith. How was the first tree created? It does sound amazing, doesn't it, to think that, trees are around, that trees have been around for like millions and millions of years, way before anyone was here to actually plant their seeds. Let's find out why. About 400 million years ago, during the Devonian period, trees were first around. That's where we first know that they existed. Now, like most things that have appeared and evolved over time, they come from smaller things that were there before. So in the old waters back then, you would have bacteria, tiny bits of life. From there, small weeds grew. And then through evolution, through natural selection, some of those weeds got bigger, became proper plants, and they were better at getting the sunlight, which they needed to live and thrive, so they kind of took over. And then bushes grew from those weeds, and then trees grew from those bushes. Quite a lot of those plants, early on, they made more of themselves, they reproduced without the need for seeds. But today, trees are grown from seeds, aren't they? That took quite a while, about another 350 million years ago. That was when trees first started to develop seeds that they could drop, which maybe animals could pick up and take and accidentally plant somewhere else. And that would make other trees. And over these last 350 million years, it's grown to have full forests, huge jungles, and all the trees that we see through the sky today. So the first tree was created about 400 million years ago. Thank you for the question. Here is one from Maggie. Maggie, who wants to know, can cats and dogs see in colour like humans? Well, yes and no here. They can see in colour, but not quite like humans. You see, colour is our brain's way of processing, interpreting, and telling apart different light waves. We've got little things in the back of our eyes that see one type of light wave as one colour and a different speed, a different length of light wave as another colour, and so on and so on and so on. That's why you get blues, red, pinks, yellow. Now, humans have three cone cells in their eyes. These are the things that understand light waves. We have one for red, one for blue, and one for green. We make all the other colours by kind of blending them together. Dogs just have two cone cells in their eyes for blue and red. So that means dogs can see in colour, but they don't understand all of them like we do. They're a bit colourblind, and I'm quite colourblind too, actually. It means that one of my receptors in the back of my eyes doesn't really work, so the other two have to make up for it. They have to do that job. And that's how colourblindness works, because then when the receptor in your eye that's meant to be looking at green, for instance, has to do the job of the blue receptor, it can do it if they're apart, but when you see blue and green, it doesn't know what to do. It's got too much work, so you get a bit colourblind. Dogs have that problem like I do. Cats have the same amount of cone cells as us, but they just don't work as well. So they can see colour, but they can't make it out as brilliantly as we do. But they make up for it because they have brilliant night vision. They have these things in their eyes which helps them see it very clearly when it's dark, which helps them when they hunt in the evening. So, Maggie, can cats and dogs see in colour like us humans? Yes, they can, but normally not as well. Let's have quite a complex question now. This is from Ethan, who asks, why do atoms never touch each other? You might have heard this, that atoms, which are the kind of smallest things that we know exist, they are the building blocks of life, that they never touch each other. The thing is, it's not absolutely true, because atoms do slightly touch. You see, you are made of atoms. Atoms make up everything, which means you must be made of atoms. And you can touch things, which means atoms must touch somehow. Thing is, atoms don't have hard boundaries. It's not like they have a proper physical edge. They're just electrons spinning around a middle, around a nucleus. But because of something very smart called the Pauli exclusion principle, which is incredibly complicated and it takes someone years and years at a university to fully understand, I'll try and quickly sum up for you. The Pauli exclusion principle says two things can't take up the same space, no matter what they are or where they are. That makes sense, doesn't it? Two things can't physically be in exactly the same space at exactly the same time. That makes sense. So because of the Pauli exclusion principle, atoms can't properly touch, but they get very, very close. That the atoms are pretty much in each other's space. But they don't have hard boundaries, so they don't necessarily feel it. And because they're not solid with edges, they do touch, but they don't properly touch. But when they're close enough in the right situation, the atoms might merge and bond to make something brand new. So Ethan, why do atoms never touch each other? They kind of do touch each other, but kind of don't touch each other. I hope that explains it a little bit. I hope you've managed to understand it. Just kind of, as I say, I love answering these questions for you. That is something that it would take an absolute genius who works at NASA to properly explain. Let's get one more question this week. It's from Anna, who asks, why do we have voice cracks? Well, you might hear from my slightly gravelly voice right now that my voice has been cracking a little bit recently. The thing is, your voice box is a muscle, pretty much. It works like a guitar string. When you move it, when you stretch it or you squeeze it, it wobbles, it pushes air around it, which vibrates and make a noise just like that guitar string does. Your voice does sometimes crack, doesn't it, though? When there are breaks in the sound like this. That might not have been lovely for you to hear. I was just showing you how your voice can crack. Now, there are a few reasons for this. When you make your voice go high or low very quickly, like I just did, it makes the muscle move too quickly. And this stretches or squashes it, which changes the way the air moves around it, and that makes it crack. Also, if you're dehydrated, if you've not had a lot of water, that vocal fold, the muscle, doesn't move smoothly. And it may make a strange shape, which changes the way the air moves around that muscle and what noise it makes as well. Also, it happens if you're nervous. Do you find that? If you're getting told off, or if you've got something very important to tell someone, your voice might start to break up a little bit. That's because when you are nervous, it makes all the muscles in your body tense up. You feel it, you go rigid, don't you? You go a bit hard, a bit frozen. Well, your voice box is a muscle, so it makes your voice muscle tense up, which makes it harder to move, harder for you to speak. Also, if you're sick, if you're ill, your voice box becomes inflamed and it gets bigger, which also changes how you speak, and that can make your voice crack too. Anna, thank you so much for the question. With a little bonus voice crack then when I said Anna. And that is all the bonus science questions that we've got this week. If there is something that you want answered next month on our bonus episode, please do let me know. Thank you so much for supporting us at Fun Kids Podcasts Plus. The best way to drop your question is by leaving it as a voice recording at funkidslive.com. Get to our website, find the Science Weekly's page. There's a big button there, it's a record button. Bash that, and you can ask away with however many questions you fancy. Just make sure you leave your name so I can say hello. And I will get to them on next month's bonus episode of the Fun Kids Science Weekly. I'll see you for that in February, and I'll see you next week with a brand new Fun Kids Science Weekly podcast. Absolutely ad-free, because you're listening on Podcasts Plus. I'll see you then.